episode of Kang Collects. As always, thanks for listening and thanks for subscribing and following along. If you missed any episodes, please go back and listen to any episodes. You can find me on Odyssey, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And like I said, if you enjoy the podcast, please let someone know about it. Refer, it helps the podcast out a lot and lets me know that someone's listening besides me and the person I'm interviewing. And without further ado, the person I'm interviewing this week is Ryan. You may have seen him on Instagram at Rad Sports, R-A-D Sports. And if you don't follow him on Instagram, Ryan, I'm bringing him on this week's episode because his point of view and his perspective is Ryan sets up at card shows. He does this part-time, obviously, on the weekends. That's when most of the shows are at. There are some weekday shows, but most of the shows are on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And as you guys know, I go to a lot of card shows, not just local card shops, but card shows. I try to get to one per weekend if I can. And what happened was I would see Ryan at these card shows a lot. We developed a friendship, and Ryan finds out, I work at 97.1 The Ticket, asked me a couple of questions, and now we see each other quite often on almost a weekly basis. Ryan, thanks for joining me, Ryan.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. Thank you, man. So, I've told you guys, I go to a lot of card shows, and I don't know every dealer. You get familiar with certain faces, and then you do start to build a relationship with some dealers that you actually buy some cards off of and things like that. And I will tell you, I haven't bought a lot of cards off Ryan, but I will tell you right now, he's one of my favorite dealers because he's genuine, he's real, he's fair price. And even, I always say, if it's your card, price whatever you want. And even if it's priced at a price you're not comfortable with, there's no hard feelings at all. This is just a fun hobby, and let's just keep it that way. And Ryan, thank you for coming on the podcast, and thank you for being a cool, genuine dealer. Cause there are some dealers out there I honestly don't like dealing with, and I kind of just go by their showcases, man, and you hang out. I don't say you hang out with these guys, but you see a lot of the dealers and you know a lot of dealers on a week. Cause you're out there every weekend.
Absolutely. No. I pride myself. And like, I'm mostly there to make friends. It's the people you meet there more than anything, in my opinion,
And really so, but yeah, obviously, making money doesn't hurt either. And I know at the end of the day, you guys pay for tables, you set up, you spend a whole day there, away from your friends and family. So let me just ask you right off the bat, how did you get started into this? I mean, like most of us, did you start off just as a collector, or did you know right away you wanted to go in there and start flipping cards and things like that?
The actual card shows, I always just did it like as a kid. I had mutual friends get me back into it more and more. And, I just kind of went to a show one day and I was going golfing and I stopped by the Taylor show actually. And I just met a few guys and I hit it off with them. And then all of a sudden we all started to hang out. Then they got me to start doing one show. And then I made a connection with Bruce or, a different guy who runs a different show. And, all of a sudden I'm doing a different show every other weekend. It's great.
That's cool. So you went to a show, made friends, and just kind of they set up one time, and once you set up, you enjoyed it, you had a good time, you sold some cards, I assume, right? Yeah,
absolutely. It was never really about the flipping cards or anything, but like I honestly, the start, it was great moving like those dollar box cards into that one big $100 card, and like that was something you could appreciate for something like you didn't really think about. That was what it really started. That's why I really liked it to start.
And so you're telling me before we even started recording that in 2018 is when you got started, right? And you were just kind of, you're collecting a set, and then that's kind of how it started when you just switched over to the other side of the table.
Yeah, I was building an 2018 Origins RPA set, and one of the dealers there had a few of them. And he kind of took me off to the side and said, yo, I actually have a few more coming in. And so and I ended up going back to him the next day and getting probably six more. And I was trying to get the Baker, which I waited on for a long time, luckily.
Yeah, thank God, right?
Absolutely. That connection just kind of snowballed into more people that did it. And then we all just kind of got into it together. And a lot of them are still left. I still see a lot of the people I started doing the shows with.
That's awesome, man. Cause I think the way you did it, you kind of came from a real place, a genuine place. It wasn't like you said, it wasn't about flipping cards. You were collecting, and then it was those dollar cards. So you weren't getting rich off dollar boxes, but it's how the progress, it's a process, right?
Yeah.
And so you did this before the big boom too, before it was quote unquote cool and the pandemic hit and all that stuff. So how was it from 2018 to 2021? Like, what did you see in the door? Are you like, oh my God, I'm going to get rich. This is incredible. This is unbelievable.
I mean, I sold one card and bought a car, but like, don't get me wrong. My car isn't the nicest car in the world, but like, you know, it's
but still a car's a car, right? Man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was like my first time. I was like, okay, so there are some major flips to be made. But like it just kind of hit. Like it was slow. It wasn't, like I said, you could buy some really nice cards, really, really nice cards that are like $1,000 cards for $100 back when I first was starting to do shows. But then pandemic hit, we got locked down. I started selling on Instagram a lot, and I actually low-key screwed myself because everything was jumping right then. And like, a lot of stuff like Kobe rookies, I sold for like $75. Well, those things went up to 250, 300 raw before the grading stuff, even forget about that.
So you made money. It was still above where you were at, but I mean, you didn't hit the peak of it.
Exactly. Like, so a lot of the stuff that would have really peaked, I moved on maybe a little too early.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the game, right? You're just like, oh, wow, I'm making good money here. But you could have been a little better. But also, I wasn't the greedy guy. I wasn't too greedy with it. And that's not what I want to be.
And you know, I hear that a lot, actually. Like, it's you're in the selling business, not in like the museum business. Like you move cards, you know, you price them out there to move them. And yeah, sometimes you get the peak, sometimes you don't, sometimes you lose money. And you, like you just said, I tell people this all the time. That's part of the game. That's part of the business, a hobby, whatever you want to call it. You know, you're not going to bet $1,000 on getting peak on everything. Right. But
right. And you know, the longer I've been in it, the more I see like there are better times than others to keep something. And then just to be like, okay, I can wait a couple months and like, you know, oh, the Lion season's coming up. People are going to really want more Lions cards. And, you know, you'll sell them then instead of when the season actually hits and whatever happens, happens, which it can go way up still. That's always a possibility.
So back in like 2018, 2019, like, how was the attendance at the card shows you were at? Were they just as good as they are now, or was it clearly you could see a difference?
There was definitely a difference. I feel like I'd see a lot more set builders going through those dollar boxes and stuff like that. I feel like it'd be a lot more of that than you selling that $100 card. It'd be more the $20 sales, which is something to lean towards now. Even $20 is a little bit different spend than $200, you know? So those things move a little easier in my opinion still, but I definitely see a lot more of those $200 sales now than I would have ever then.
So like I said, you know, we run into each other a lot at card shows. I try to hit up, you know, whenever I can, at least every weekend, if I have the time. You mentioned like the set builders, maybe they're not as much anymore. They're still out there, of course, but people are willing to buy more big end cards now. How do you know when to, you mentioned a little bit earlier, how do you know when to hold a card back before you put it in the showcase, or when to, hey, this is the right time to put it out there to see, you know, who someone will pick it up or not?
There's a lot of
factors.
Yeah. You know, and everyone's there's some things where I want to hold it for the 3 months before you see what someone paid for it, you know, like that's the eBay sales or whatever, you know? So like those kind of things where it's out of 25 or even less than that, you can stash those a little bit, but there's a waiting game on everything because somebody else is going to collect it. Somebody else wants it, you know, if that makes sense.
So like, yeah, go ahead.
You're good. Sorry. I messed up.
No, no worries. But I mean, my next question was just going to be like, how do you feel about the word comps? Now, every dealer feels differently about this. I feel like I'm just going to get your perspective.
When someone I have one con of card shows written down, and it is comps, because that word is relative. If like, you know, you can find something once, but can you find it over and over and over again? Because that's, I feel like bids, you can get a way better deal. And I will always list, I don't ever list auctions. It's always buy it now or best offer. And you never know what someone's going to pay. And I prove it time and time again to my friends when they're like, oh, it's only worth this. I'm like, Well, guess what I just sold it for? You never know what someone's willing to pay. That's really like the gist of what it comes down to. Comps are they're a good starting point, and that's what they are. They're a starting point, but you have to be a little more accepting to, okay, well, there's not going to be another one of these. While like, okay, there's something like a base card PSA 10, there's 1,000 of them. We can go off a comp there. There's 1,000 of them. You could go to the table next to me and buy it.
No, I hear you. I always feel like, yeah, like comps for like a buyer, obviously they're going to use that. As a seller, it's like, hey, this isn't, that's not the price. That's just a relative, like you said, starting point. And I think there's a balance between comps and what's available. You know, like, yeah. Hey, and so I think you kind of have to work between the two, because I think what's available matters as well. Now, I'm not going to lie. I look at comps just like anybody else, and I hope for a lower than comp price. Now, when any time a dealer says no, or that's too low, or I think I can get this with it, I'm never offended. I always tell people personally, I hope they don't get offended by an offer from me, you know, because it's your card. You could price it for whatever you want. And if it doesn't sell, you're going to be stuck with that card. That's fine. And if you want to price it super low to get move it, then that's up to you too, because I never get upset. So if I walked up to Ryan's table and saw a card and comps were, the last 10 sales were $100, and you did not want to move it for $125, I would not be upset. Honestly, I would just be like, well, you know, good luck to you. If you get 125, you get 125. And maybe I come up to you and I offer, you know, 90 and see if you won gold comps. And some guys do, some guys don't. But that, in the end, I'm going to say this a lot. It's kind of part of the game, part of the hobby. You move on to the next dealer.
Right. Right. And it is. I like to think there are certain cards where if I were to get buried in it, I'm okay with it. Like there's some of those cards. There are. But like there's a lot of those where, like I said, there's hundreds of them. There's a few different parallels, variants. There's a, you know, it's easy to find something similar to it. Those you use the comps as more of a guideline. Something where I get something I haven't seen in 10 years come up on auction, and I got it for $100 and I'm gonna put it up for $400. Well, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'll probably still get the $250 in the end somehow. And if I don't, I'm okay with getting buried with that card.
How do you know
that is a select few cards?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want people to go out there and think they can just lowball dealers. Actually, if I see a number and I feel like we're way off, I don't even offer, because I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to, like you said in the very beginning of this podcast, it's kind of about, you know, having fun. It's a fun thing to do, is to collect cards. And, you know, I don't want, you know, to rub anybody the wrong way. I'm not trying to look for, you know, maybe not necessarily make friends, but I'm definitely not looking to make enemies. So if I see like, hey, your card's way high, maybe I don't offer it because I just don't even want to offer. But maybe you throw it out there. Some guys will be like, just give me an offer, I don't care. And if they were like begging for an offer, like, I don't care, what do you think? Then I'll throw an offer out. And if they say no, they say no, and it's not a big deal. We move on. How do you know when you take a loss, Ryan? Like if like, you're like, dude, I'm not going to move this card for what it was supposed to be going for. I got to get going.
I still struggle with it. You know, I can tell you this. I don't have a lot of stuff where I'm like, I am taking, but I definitely, there's still some things, but you know what? I have a lot of guys that trade, and we will trade for things where you actually met one of them, where we'll just trade for low end stuff and make it add up to something. And you know what? Even if I'm losing on it a little bit, we'll group it all together and we'll come to something. And I've been doing that a lot and it's worked out. So like, there's definitely a time where it's like, all right, I'm gonna lose. It's
okay. Yeah. So you say for you, maybe trading has alleviated some of that loss. Like, so it's not as bad if you can do a trade instead.
Absolutely. And trading is become one of my favorite things to do at shows lately. You never know what's going to come through. You know, I had a signed football. I just turned into a flawless patch auto, and it's well worth the trade.
Nice, nice. That's awesome, man. So that's another thing. Like, as a dealer, people offer you trades and they offer you to buy cards, and kind of everybody knows that you guys are going to buy it below comps. Speaking of comps, because you guys are trying to turn around and you have to sell it, you know? And so I've heard dealers straight up tell guys, hey, listen, man, if you're coming up to me and you're asking me to buy, I'm at 80% or I'm at 85% or I'm at whatever percent. And if you're not there, then you know, we don't have to waste each other's time. How are you with that? And like, do you agree with that? You know, like, hey, do they know, or do your customers know that, hey, I'm going to sell this at a higher price than I'm buying it from you? I hope you know this.
I would say, like, I mean, typically most of the guys, I mean, signs are at a lot, some of the stores, they put up signs that say 60%.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I'd say I'm probably more around like that 70% range. It depends on what it is. I'm an autograph guy. I want autographed cards more than anything. So that's what's going to catch my eye more than like, I don't really do much basketball. So, you know, a lot of basketball is not going to really catch my eye. Or like the Mosaic Green PSA 10 Justin Herbert rookies. Like, it's not me.
You were like, you mentioned RPAs earlier. Yeah, I'm with you, actually. I'm kind of old school. I think the autographs are awesome. I think it's something still that means something. Like a player, I know we have the sticker autos now, but it kind of, the player like touched a part of that card. You know what I mean? Like
they're
personalized, you know?
I wish they did more actual game used stuff. That's, you know, that was what really got me into cards when I was a kid. I was like, wow, this, he wore this on the field. Like, that was cool. I think they need to do more about that.
I agree. And they just got cheap because at this point, it's just about making money, right? And
yeah, look at what baseball did with their jerseys this year. Talking about cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Now, even I don't even know if I want that game used. It's going to rip right when you pull it out of the pack. You know? But yeah, back then, and you're taking their word for it, you know, Upper Deck or Panini when they did game used. You take their word for it. You're like, dude, this was worn by... You know, and the listeners know, I PC Michael Jordan. To think like Jordan wore this warm up or this shooting shirt or shorts or whatever, like, to me, that's worth more than what, like, you know, than what I paid for. Like, that's crazy. And now they grab a jersey off Dick's Sporting Goods, and then, you know, they slap a number of serial number to 99, and it's supposed to be worth a lot more because of that.
I think it's, they do 88 for the rookie premier jerseys, I think, for football. That's always been what it was. I remember there's an infamous picture of Mark Ingram in this big giant cloak of a jersey with like 10 of them on at once. That's what they do with those.
It's not the same, but business is booming right now. And people, I mean, if they're going to make money off it and people are still buying it, why would they, I guess, go out and get a game worn jersey or a player issued jersey, you know?
People sure love opening packs. I'll give them that.
That's not my advice.
My advice is to buy singles always, but there's
a gambling factor and there's a fun factor to opening wax. And I get it, but I'm with you. I mean, your money is going to go a lot further by buying singles, but you'll never have that chance at that $10,000 card or whatever it is. If you don't have that money, like who does? Most of us don't just go out there and spend $10,000 on a card. The only way you could do it is apparently spend $500 on a box or something like that, right?
Crazy. I don't understand it. I really don't. When boxes used to be $80 when I first started getting into cards, it doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Yeah, you probably see it now and you're like, this is crazy. Like, this is, you know, that used to be a $70 box, right? Now it's $200.
I think I used to get limited boxes for $99 in like 2016-ish.
Yeah, and remember, you could walk into any Target, Meijer, Walmart, whatever, and there'd be blasters and megas just sitting there, and no one would want them. They just, you know, for cheap.
I used to get hobby boxes at Meijer at one point. This was like 05, 06, and was like, you know, rookies and stars. And like, I bought a 2005 Zenith hobby box in 2005 by like cashing in my good grades. And we got that at Meijer. That was like my first hobby box. Yeah.
So like, this is a good and bad thing. Obviously it's probably good for you because you set up every, you know, a lot of weekends and sell, but the pricing of everything, I'm a straight hardcore collector. Now I will set up like every couple months at a friend's show. Cause I like the fun of it. You know what I mean? And I'm not making a ton of money or anything like that, but in the heart of hearts, I'm just a hardcore collector. So for me, if prices went down and I was able to afford Jordan cards a lot cheaper, I wouldn't care, honestly, because I still love the cards. It's not about investing in Jordan, even though Jordan's an easy investment because he's like the safest, you know, player you can invest in. But I just love collecting. But for you to see these prices go up like that, I know you think it's kind of crazy, but you're benefiting from it in a way, right?
Yeah. Slightly. I mean, I still have to pay more to get things I want, right?
That's true.
But I mean, it doesn't, in a way, it doesn't matter if you collect what you love, you can make money. And I did that. I mean, my PC, Chris Chambers, right?
Awesome
And
PC.
I've been collecting him for years. Like, I, one of my buddies, when I first was getting back, and he's like, just pick somebody that you liked and just collect somebody. And I did. You know, I got a 1-of-1 shield, and I got a lot of really cool stuff for next to nothing, and just over the time. And then someone came to me trying to collect it, and I've done quite well with that, and I'm happy. But you know,
How random is
I still
it
buy it.
that you, first of all, why did you pick Chris Chambers? Secondly, to find another Chris Chambers fan who's bigger than you, apparently, wanting to pay for that, right?
You know, we find each other, I guess. But I grew up in Miami, so when I
Okay.
went to games when I was a kid, Chris Chambers, Ricky Williams were the two guys on the field. Ricky Williams was too much. Chris Chambers was the guy I really liked, and I was like, easy, you know. There's a lot of really cool Dolphins patches out there too,
Oh
and it,
yeah,
all of
that's
it was
sick.
game used.
That's awesome. I love the fact that your PC is Chris Chambers. I love those off the wall, like, Michael Jordan's, everyone, that's an easy, a lot of people, collect Jordan for obvious reasons. But like the guys that collect like you, Chris Chambers and whoever, and you were able to find somebody who also collects Chris Chambers and end up making money because you had bought it so cheap because he was cheap, right? I mean, it's not like
Yeah,
Chris
I
Chambers is
mean,
gonna
it
cost
wasn't
money.
ever meant to be a flip. I just was like, I want this for me. And like, I have a 5-row box literally full of Chris Chambers cards.
And sometimes, like the Million Dollar Man said, everyone has their price, right? And it was like, I can't not sell this to him. He's offering to me.
I couldn't not.
Yeah,
I'm still human here.
right. You still got bills to pay and whatnot.
That's right. That's right. But
So what?
it's proof. Go pick somebody that you just liked that you can be proud of collecting. Because you're not going to say you're going to make a ton of money, but you'll enjoy having it anyways.
So
You
when you
never
set
know.
up for a show, how early do you get there and what do you decide to bring to shows?
I get there probably, like, let's say the show starts at 10. I like to be there probably 9, and then I will have a major just kerfuffle in my head of what cards to put out, what order, how they're supposed to look, because my brain's just a jumbled mess at that point. But after they get everything gets in the case, and if it's around 10 o'clock, I'm happy. But yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason. I kind of have it all in the case. Take pictures of the new stuff that I got in. Say I'm going to post on Instagram. Sometimes I do, most of the times I don't. I'll get better at that. I really will, one of these days. But I have my big ginormous case and three showcases, and I get it all set up.
Do you find that since we're in Michigan and the Metro Detroit area, like just Metro Detroit or Detroit athletes, local college athletes, they do really well for you? Or is it still like big time national superstar guys?
I very much lean towards Detroit. I'll have a little bit of, I have a ton of Lions. That's mostly what I gear towards. I have, a little bit of Tigers. I try to have a lot more Red Wings because I'm a big hockey guy, but not a lot of guys in the show have hockey. So I do get a lot of good return customers just for some hockey. And I don't have anything crazy big, but I try to at least have some good hockey to keep those customers around too. But yeah, definitely geared towards the hometown crowd. And then, I definitely know I have a Dolphins collector at the shows. I have, guys that look for Broncos, guys that look for certain players. So I can actually,
You keep that in mind when
figure
you're
what I
suit
buy.
packing up, right?
Right. And for future, like, it's future money. That's a big thing I try to think of is, all right, what if I get this now, he'll want this. I can sell it to, so future money is kind of a, is a different ways of way I look at it too, when I look for what people to come to my table look for.
So as far as pricing goes, though, we mentioned comps earlier. How early do you start pricing these things? Do you price them the day of? Do you price them the week leading up? Because prices do change. I don't think they've been volatile as they have been, but but because they're pretty more steady now, but they do change though. So how early do you start pricing your cards?
Pricing is more of like I'd say probably like bi-monthly for me. And honestly, I just kind of go with flow. I'm like, you know, people are going to look up comps. So I have a starting point. I'm going to, I'll come down, whatever. That's all my price guide is. I just kind of like, all right, this is where I can put this. And this is a price guide to me. And then we'll just work from that way. If I'm talking to you, I mean, there's a lot of things, or I'll even go like, you know, 60% what I have on it, but you know, without talking, you'll never know. But I mean, I kind of just deal with my customers straight up.
Okay. Yeah. Because it seems like that could be a hassle in general. You know,
it is. And that's what I tell everyone. Like I priced this when I got it. And you know, if it went up or down, it is what it is. We'll work on it.
Uh-huh.
But I have so many guys that come up and they try to do the 60, 70% buying thing. And it's like, yo, I have three or four guys that I already see week in, week out that I will do this with. I don't need another. You know, that's where like, you know, like I have a whatnot page I'm selling for, I'm buying at 70%.
Yeah.
I just don't need all those. I already have a couple of my friends.
I was just going to ask you that question next, Ryan, like what, you know, people selling online and breaks and whatnot and everything. Have you found a lot more of that at shows now? People want to buy a larger part of your showcase or your boxes, but at a much lower rate. Do you see that more often?
Yeah. I don't a ton. I'm sure repacks, those people have, you know, found their people.
Uh-huh.
I do have a couple of kids that I deal with regularly. That one has been coming to the show since he was like 12 with his dad, and now he's doing Instagram sales like crazy. And he'll buy big. He'll buy a lot, but he'll pay you out. But yeah, it's like 70%, pretty common, and that's commonplace. But like I said, you know, I have one or two of those guys where I don't need to keep adding like, sorry, I already did that. Yeah. This week. They got the 70% cards. Those are gone.
Yeah. And then otherwise, you know, that you can get closer to what you want if you hold on to it.
Yeah. And that is why I lean towards the hometown stuff more so, because the people here are going to like it. And mm-hmm. I'm not really afraid of, you know, sitting on that stuff because it'll move.
Do you like the negotiation part of being at card shows, or do you kind of get right to the point? Like, you know, there is an art to this. Obviously, there's this is my bottom, and then that's not really my bottom. This is my high. This is like, you know, do you enjoy that, or is it something?
I definitely enjoy it. I mean, you know, it's a way to get to know people a little bit too. But I mean, after you see each other a while, you know, it's not as much a negotiation anymore after so long. It's almost if you get too close to somebody, it almost just becomes an argument with each other, like not in a bad way, but we're a couple of guys where they'll just get loud. We're like, come on.
So when you set up at these shows, obviously all the dealers are there before everybody else. And, you know, you said you get up there like an hour before and whatnot. How often are the dealers just poaching from each other before the public gets in there, man? Like, I think I always had that concern where like, dude, is there going to be anything left by Sunday? Because not only the customers, but the dealers have gone to each other and checked out other showcases.
I can honestly say I don't see it that much. Okay. Now, like there's the Shipshawana show where they had the trade night the day before and stuff like that. I don't usually see dealers, you know, snooping around early because they're all doing the same thing with, you know, getting all jumbled up messes, trying to get their showcases filled for the most part. But, you know, at the National, I felt like I saw that quite a bit. That was happening a lot more where people were coming up as people were just putting cards in cases. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy that. It's like, I haven't experienced it that much. If I'm late, I've had that happen just to me, just as I'm setting cards out, the people are just trying to buy them. That's so, just like retardiness.
Yeah, that's on you, man.
That's right.
So do you see, like, are you seeing new customers every week? I know you mentioned you have a lot of regulars, but are you seeing new people with the hobby? Like, is it growing? I definitely think it is.
I think it is. And at the same time, that first push of people getting into it when COVID hit, those people are dying off, and we're starting to see the people who are really, you know, were into it staying and still seeing new people at the same time, or people who are like, I didn't realize there were shows. I still get that all the time. Where like, I didn't even know there was a show here. I get that in Taylor monthly, and I'm like, I've been doing this show for 5 years.
That's good news, because that means the hobby is growing and people.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you and I know, you know, that there's like almost a rotation now. Like every show is on a certain weekend, and I think there's a couple more shows popping up. So I think it definitely is growing. But so can you let people know, actually, you know, what shows you're going to be doing upcoming and where you're going to be at? And
yeah,
so you're just Metro Detroit, or do you go outside of the state as well?
I have gone out of the state quite a bit. I don't have anything coming out of the state anytime soon. I won't be setting up the national this year. So that's nothing to look forward to. Just a big mess of people at the national this year, and you're going to be walking through that crowd. But I will be at Collectors Arena starting tomorrow, I guess, from this time. So this weekend I'll be at Collectors Arena, and then it follows with Troy. That's and then after that, I think we have a Royal Oak show, which is just that one Sunday morning. It's like a 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. show. And after that, I think the rotation starts over with Taylor again. I know, yeah, I will likely be doing the Detroit Sportstacular. Is that what we're calling it? Or is it the Michigan Sportstacular? So I think it's Detroit. Be doing that with Detroit sports cards and collectibles. So I'll probably get a showcase with them, and I'll be setting up at that one. Whether
that's
like
a huge one. That's a huge one. Yeah. So people, if you don't know, there's weekly shows, and even definitely in the Metro Detroit area, like Rylance has mentioned, Collectors Arena is in, is it Chesterfield or New Baltimore?
Yeah, 21 in Gratiot.
Okay. And then the Troy show is over on a 16 Mile Road and Rochester Road right there. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just right past the hockey arena.
Yep. And then the Royal Oak show is at the Elks, right?
Yeah. Elks Lodge. That one's, I can't give you an exact location. It's right off of that 75 exit.
Yeah. Yep. Right over there. Royal Oak, look it up. And then Taylor is another show. That's a monthly show that you've been doing for 5 years now. Yep. The Taylor Town
Taylor
Center.
Town, right? Yep. Yeah. Taylor Town Trade Center.
So those are like Metro Detroit ones, okay? Yep. People, there's Livonia has one at the Laurel Park Valley. Yep. There's one also.
The Lansing show is getting
huge. There's a Lansing show is big. There's a bunch of shows on the west side now. I keep seeing like more and more pop up. Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
There's one, I think, in Soaring Eagle coming up next month or so. There's Port Huron shows. There's like smaller, like little hall shows that, you know, that you just look for.
One of my buddies does one up, where all the hockey arenas are. Gosh, I can't remember the name of the city. Does one in where the Red Wings have their training camp at?
Oh, in Traverse City.
Yes, Traverse City has a show up there too. He does that every quarterly, I believe.
Yeah, there's a Clarkston show. There's just look it up, people. There's like, they don't have to be, they're not huge shows, but they're shows.
There's, several Facebook pages dedicated to just being able to find what shows are that weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
If you ever want to find them, yeah.
I try to hit them all up, you know this, Ryan. And just because, now I'm not gonna lie, I see a lot of the same dealers and a lot of same stuff, but there are times when there's a new dealer or they pick up new stuff that I, you know, they got from someone walking around trying to sell or whatever. And that's what I'm looking for, just like that, you know, hey, that I didn't know that was going to be here this weekend or whatever, you know. And when you're a PC guy like me
about the show,
yeah, exactly, yeah, so
you never know if you walk through the door.
Yeah.
But right. Like I do pride myself on, like I said, I do a show every week. So I do run into that problem where I have the same stuff, but I like to, you know, maybe you see the same, like a same group of 10 cards, but I still have that 6 to 7 new cards every week. There's something that like pertains to like somebody where there's something new to look forward to every weekend, even if you do see me every week.
Or also, if you pass up on a card and you're hoping to see it again, you know, I mean, that's another reason to bring back the same cards too. And I've had that buyer's regret or remorse if I didn't buy something.
I've had that a few times where it's like, you know what, I did. I'm glad you still have it. I just had a buddy text me. He's like, you still have that card? I do want it. Like, exactly. Yep. I need.
So I want to talk about something that's been in the news here locally. Now it's kind of got a little national attention, with at least in the hobby, not like a national story, but a man here locally was caught stealing. They estimated in all, in totality, over $18,000 worth of retail packs. This guy was going to Myers basically and just, I don't know if he's stuffing it down his pants or just not you scanning him correctly. You know how people do that, whatever. I've seen this before. I've actually gone to Meijer and see people open up packs. Not seen them open up packs, but saw packs open. Like, what kind of degenerate just opens up packs and looks for cards? Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, seriously, people. But anyways, this man was caught. I don't know if he's going to do any jail time, get fined or whatever. But stealing can be a problem in the hobby. I bring this up to you, Ryan, because recently here, you had found, we were talking at a show and you're like, dude, someone stole a card from me. I think you couldn't find a card, right? Or a couple of cards and it ended up being stolen. And other dealers at shows were having cards stolen as well. And long story short, I'm not getting into details. The card community, especially the dealers, I'm sure are close in the community. You guys found this guy and this guy fessed up to everything. Like, putting your cards in a showcase, is that enough? Do you worry about theft? Like, what do you, you know, how do you handle this? Do you think about this when you're setting up and watching guys?
I mean, honestly, I've never, before that one day, I never, in all my years of doing them, I've never actually had the issue before. But, you know, I don't really concern it, but I also know that, like you said, everyone is pretty tight-knit. Everybody that I set up around, I trust that they know me, they know my stuff, they would say something to anybody if something was off. And, you know, that's, you know, it was proof when they caught that person from what they did. And, you know, everything was amended with me. I'm sure other people are dealing with other stuff, but, you know, it is what it is. And, but as for the showcases, I mean, you need that at the bare minimum. You can't be putting the cards on your showcase or just on the table. Anyone can grab anything. I've seen people putting $200 just unopened packs sitting on the table. And it's like, well, if that's a $200 pack, I mean, it doesn't take much to just go missing.
Yeah.
And they're just leaving stuff on the tables unattended or just, you have to just eye to eye contact with somebody and you could still slide it, you know, sleight of hand from them. That's how it happened to me basically. So you never know.
But how do you,
I don't worry about it like that. I don't lose sleep that, oh, someone's going to try to come for my stuff. I definitely think it's more on myself or I guess ourselves. Because, like, we should see it. If that, like, it shouldn't get past us.
So, like, do you, you know, because you don't want to watch someone like a hawk necessarily, I guess, but it's also your stuff. It's your card, you know, like $5,100 is still $5,100 or whatever, you know, you know, and you also don't like getting stolen from this guy, like getting like violated in a way, you know, like, hey man, it's your
that
stuff.
That was more the feeling I had. Yeah. I was like, really? Like, and then I was kind of like, just go take it from a Walmart. Why, like, you know, why you gotta hurt a person?
Yeah, just go steal $18,000 worth of packs from Meijer. Don't steal my $20 card or whatever. I know it's more than that, but yeah, I know you're frustrated. Like, man, because then you start thinking, did I misplace it? Did I bring it? Right?
Or yeah, anything? Yeah, and that's exactly. And it's like, I was like, no, I know I saw it right down there.
So do you take pictures of everything before you put it out there? Or is it just
that's why, especially now, I've been taking pictures of pretty much anything once it comes in for the most part. That way I know. I know I had what I have, but yeah, I definitely, maybe I should take pictures of like my supply right when I finish setting it all up, but it's not something I usually had to think I had to do or ever thought I would have to do.
Yeah. So you're a showcase guy then. Do you, I mean, other than the dollar boxes or whatever, you don't have cards to sit on the table or anything like that.
Yep. I mean, even if they aren't all the same show, like they don't all look the same, but for the most, like, I definitely make sure most of my stuff is in cases, at least $10 or above.
Any advice for anyone that's listening that's just a casual collector that's thinking about, hey, maybe I want to set up for fun or just kind of move some of the cards I don't want? Any advice for people that are thinking about doing this? I guess one would be get a showcase, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's an investment in and of its own. It is. But it's definitely worth it. Well worth it. But I think my advice would just be, you know, make the call, you know, give the promoter a call, you know, and just try to have fun with it. Don't expect to become a millionaire in a day, but also don't let people walk over you on your first show or anything like that. Cause people try to do that. They do it. They try to do it to me. I see it like You know, people, someone who hasn't been there ever, they don't really know how it goes. They will get, people will, you know, will take advantage of them. You know,
yeah, I'm sure you've learned a lot over the years, huh? Like just since you started until now. I mean,
yeah, you know, like, you know, the negotiating thing, I didn't, you know, I learned that from doing this, really, you know. I didn't, you know, my first show, I had someone walk up to me and offer on five of my cards. He gave me $800. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Well, you know, fast forward to like 2 days later, I'm like, wow, that was actually like $1,300. You know? But like that's, you know, that's the feeling, you know?
Yeah. You live and you learn, right? I mean,
right.
Now that you've been doing this a while, I mean, do you like it more, less, the same when you first
started? There's ups and downs for sure, where you just, you know, like I want to go golfing this week and I don't feel like having to sit at the show all day long. And I'll cut out. I've gone golfing at 6 a.m. so I get to the show by 10 a.m. to take the cloth off of my cases. And I'll do that probably two times this summer just because I can. But like that's, you know, just for you got to enjoy your summer too. Cause like I said, like it is every week sometimes. And like, I had 2 weeks off a couple weeks ago. And you know what it was? It was cold outside. I couldn't do anything. So when I get 2 weeks off and it's nice out, I will be enjoying the heck out of it because it's a long haul. It is, you know, I have four shows in a row. I think it's actually going to be five shows in a row before I have a whole weekend off again.
So the one time I do set up every a few months or whatever, I'm like, and it's only one day too. And I think like, man, I can't believe other dealers do this every weekend, you know, 2 to 3 days a weekend. And it's a lot of your time. Yeah. You know, especially if it's nice out, like you said, it's like you go outside, you're like, oh man, it was a nice day today. And I was inside all day just, you know, and it's fun.
That was Saturday at Taylortown. You know, it was really nice out. We had like an early push from like 10 to noon. And then it was pretty much silent from noon to 3 o'clock. And I'm like, I'll give this like another hour, but I want to get the heck out of here and enjoy this day too.
Oh man.
And that definitely happens, you know? And that's when you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go out there and have fun too.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you, man. Well, Ryan, man, I appreciate you coming on. If you're looking to buy any cards off Ryan, you'll see him at the shows on the weekend. You heard the shows he's going to be upcoming next few weekends. But you reach out on Instagram if you want to look at any cards or trades he's into. It's RAD Sports, Rad Sports, right?
At RAD_SportsCards.
There you go. And what he said, right? You say it one more time for the
at @Rad_SportsCards.
There you go, man. It is a Chris Chambers piece to you guys. So if you have any Chris Chambers cards, you might have a buyer here.
That's possible. If there's a Dolphins logo on it, I might want it.
Oh, dude, that's huge, man. That's huge. well, I'll see you this weekend, man. I'll be out there this weekend. I'm going to try to stop by.
I have a ton of new stuff. This is going to be way different than my last show. I've got a ton of new stuff. I'm pretty pumped about this show.
I did buy a card off Ryan, a full transparency, this past weekend. I bought a Daniel Cormier autograph card because we just both mentioned we're both autograph guys. And DC, he's going to be a UFC Hall of Famer. So one of the greats.
Yeah, he isn't already?
I don't know. I don't know, actually.
He deserves it. He's 100%. He's in.
Great deal. Ryan, like I said, I appreciate you coming on, man. We'll have you on again.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Ken Collects, guys, follow me on YouTube. And I'm also on Instagram at Ken Collects, KHANG Collects. You guys know I post a lot of Michael Jordan cards, but I'll let you know when the new episodes are coming out and when I drop new videos out on YouTube. I appreciate you guys listening. As always, keep collecting. And if you love what you collect, you can't go wrong. Am I right, Ryan?
That is 100% correct.
All right, man. Thanks for listening, guys.